Welcome to Enclave on Air. I'm your host today, Jax DiEugenio. In today's episode, supported by Revolution Medicines, we had the pleasure of speaking with Heinz Joseph Lenz, MD, about RAS mutations in pancreatic ductal adenocarcinoma. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Lenz discussed the prevalence of RAS mutations in PDAC, the importance of biomarker testing, current treatment strategies for patients with RAS mutant PDAC, and potential future treatment advances for patients with this disease.
How prevalent are RAS mutations across sort of the pancreatic cancer sort of paradigm?
Yeah, so now the KRAS mutation become a very hot topic in many different cancers, and particularly in pancreatic cancer, where the treatment landscape is unfortunately still not as effective as we hope. KRAS mutations are the most frequent oncogenic driver mutation in pancreatic cancer. And it is certainly a mutation which is very critical in the early onset of pancreatic cancer development. So it would be a unique and very promising target. As you probably all know, KRAS mutations are very difficult to target based on the interaction of its transmembranic location downstream. The pocket for the GDP and GTP, the phosphorus addition to it to activate it, is very small. So in other words, when you try to unlock this lock or this pocket with a key, it is a very unique small key in order to do that. So that has been limiting the development of specific KRAS inhibitors. The most promising is G12C, where the pocket is a little bit different than the other mutations like G12D and G12V. So the G12C has been successfully developed, and there are drugs being approved for colon cancer and lung cancer, and particular for in combination with an EGF receptor inhibitor. Now, pancreas cancer are a little bit different because G12C is very infrequent. As part of the 90% KRAS mutation, the G12C is about only 1%. Data exist that with G12C, you have efficacy in metastatic pancreas cancer. But because it's so rare, in order to really make a stride for pancreas cancer, you need inhibitors for the other mutations. And there are very incredible developments. G12V, for example, is 30% in pancreatic cancer. And there are developments for vaccines in clinical trials in combination with immune checkpoint inhibitors. So there is a lot of movement for G12V. There are also cell-based treatments for G12V in order to recognize with your T cells this particular protein. I think what made the big progress is particular G12D and the pan-RAS inhibitors. And we all are aware of the Revolution Medicine developments, which really target the pan-RAS, so all mutations, and very uniquely the G12D. And for the G12D, there are different mechanisms to inhibit the KRAS mutation. So it depends if you inhibit in the off status or in the on status of this mutation. And the G12D is actually inhibited in the on stage, which has potentially indication for potential side effects. And they developed a very promising pan-RAS inhibitor. And there are clinical trials ongoing and already data reported that when you give the pan-RAS inhibitor, you see response rate between 29% and 36%, which is unheard of for pancreatic cancer. I don't even think that FOLFIRINOX can do over 30%. So it is really changed the whole landscape and potential prioritization on how we develop this drug. And it didn't require a combination partner. That's what we are used in colon cancer for the G12C inhibitor. So I think there are a lot of different strategies being now tested and development. Do we have a good combination partner? Because one of the concerns is the skin toxicity of this pan-RAS inhibitor. So to do an EGF receptor inhibitor may be not a very good idea, or maybe limited by toxicity. So there are a lot of different developments, including combination with chemotherapy. So I think we will see in the next year or two significant changes and new treatment strategy. But this is a paradigm-changing development where this is a targetable mutation, or these are targetable mutations with very targeted specific treatments, that the pan-RAS inhibitor alone can be so effective. It doesn't work in colon cancer the same way. The response rate goes down to under 10%. So I think the novel combinations being developed to see if we further increase the efficacy, because the PFS is also amazing. It's over 8 months. That's longer than in first line. So I think I'm extremely excited about this approach and targeting KRAS, not only specific mutations, but also pan-RAS mutations.
When a patient presents with a KRAS mutation, what are your next steps? And, you know, you can talk about like the timeliness of understanding those genetic risk factors.
So I think what we have learned for sure is when a patient is newly diagnosed, do your genetic testing. Because for pancreas, we for a long time had no actionable mutation. It should be done for the KRAS mutation to know what specific mutation it has. It also offers unique treatment, not only the pan-RAS inhibitor, but specific for the G12C and V and D. If the tumor is microsatellite unstable, that offers different treatment options, and immunotherapy has been extremely successful. You need to check for BRCA2, which helps to prioritize chemotherapy-based regimens. And in the wild-type RAS pancreatic cancer, you can have an NRG1 or a RET fusion, for which we also now have treatments. So I think these are only subgroups, but you need to know, because you will change their outcome and prognosis in a dramatic fashion. I think the standard of care is still chemotherapy in first line, but I would move into RAS inhibitor in second line right now. It would be only in form of clinical trials, particularly for centers, but I can only encourage oncologists in the private practices to look early and look for clinical trial opportunities for these patients, because the significant promising efficacy, the earlier you actually integrate them into a targeted treatment, their lines of treatment. I think the most important is do your genetic testing on the tumor with an NGS and do your germline testing, that you have the full scope of the genetic makeup, that you can accordingly prioritize treatment options and potential enrollment and access to clinical trials.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of Onc Live on Air, supported by Revolution Medicines. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates on oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On X and Blue Sky, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and follow our OncLive page on Instagram. If you like today's episode of OncLive on Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thank you again for listening to OncLive on Air.